Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another segment of the show, Triple E's Education Empowerment Entrepreneurship. Today's guest is Terry Lewis, wrongfully convicted and recently, by God's grace and mercy, recently exonerated after serving 21 years in prison. Before we start, I want to say that I am not anti-police, nor am I anti-prosecution. But what I am, I'm anti-bad police and anti-bad prosecution. I believe the law is supposed to protect the innocent and punish the guilty. This was not the case. So welcome to the show, good brother.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you having me on, bro. Thank you much.
Well, we so appreciate you. You are part of the WOOC family. And, you know, I just want to say we go back as long as train smoke.
Absolutely. And go yes, back and like that.
That's right. Yeah. So tell us what happened. All right.
And I'm going to try to be as detailed as possible, but okay. Also, you know what I mean, use brevity as well. Right. In 1996, there was a robbery occurred, a botched robbery, which had led to the death of Mr. Bernard Howard Hewitt. And the witness, the state witness, which was Mr. Bernard Howard, the descendant in the case, his girlfriend, she, during the time of the actual crime itself, she had admitted to smoking and using, having the usage of crack cocaine in her system 15 minutes before it happened. And she, according to her witnessing, is she believed that I was one of the perpetrators during the botched robbery, which led to the murder of Mr. Howard. And at this time, the Philadelphia Police Department in the late 90s and all through the 90s, early 80s as well, you know, as history reflects for the city of Philadelphia, they had a policy in place where due to the war on crime, the war on drugs, they were getting paid overtime to solve, you know, murders that was occurring due to the war on drugs and in our impoverished, you know, neighborhoods. So based upon the loan testimony of an admitted crack user, and just going by record, you know, not to degrade anyone, they took this as an opportunity. When I say they, meaning the previous the Philadelphia Police Department, the previous administration. And in a nutshell, they had withheld evidence, and they actually they manufactured a case against me. They gave me a completely entire case. They put me there because one of the individuals who was the perpetrators, his nickname was Stank. And we shared commonality because I had went by in my younger days the nickname Stank. But what they fail to realize is the Stank who they suppose had been investigating and capturing is a guy by the name of Sadeh Muhammad, who actually, you know, I mean, wore ankle bracelet, who was on house arrest, who drove a particular car. The reason why I say this is because she was very descriptive in who she believed was there that night. This was during her second interview, meaning the star only witness, during her second interview 2 days after the crime had occurred. But again, unfortunately for me at that time, the Philadelphia Police Department, it was the norm during the Frank Rizzo era, during the Lynn Abraham, you know, administration as a DA, together collectively.
He was the Confederate of the North. Yeah.
Absolutely. And he meant that. He was law and order. Yeah, I mean, you know, what they considered to be law and order and justice, you know what I mean? Law, you know what I mean? And disorder, you know, the oppression, you know what I mean? And uprooting the lives of people, you know? So if they were, the Philadelphia Police Department, if they weren't actually brutalizing individuals, because I tell you, where I come up and grew up at, I witnessed this with my own eyes. I just didn't never think that something as tragic as what happened to me with my life being uprooted from this department would it actually personally happen, like I said, falling on my doorstep. But like I said, that was the norm at the time, wherein they just wanted to get the cases shut. They wanted to solve the cases by any means necessary. It was finality over any type of fairness. You know, I come from a poor neighborhood. I come from, you know, the slums of West Philadelphia. You know,
it was a human being. You were just a number, a case.
That's all I was. I was just a regular.
Something to move off the desk.
That's it. And we can get overtime by completing this and moving on to the next one. As you can see, I made number 6 exoneree in the city of Philadelphia from the Conviction Integrity Unit. They've been proactive for the past 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. Underneath the leadership of the DA Larry Kresner, and who's spearheading his Conviction Integrity Unit, Miss Patricia Cummings. They are on their 14th exoneration within 2 years. Bless 14 exonerees.
Wow.
I made number 6 and I only been here a year. So I said that to use as a highlight. It's obvious, you know, what the culture was with that the previous administrations during that time.
So then you wound up getting convicted. So let's speak to the piece about when you got convicted. How did you get the ball and chain off your foot? You know, 21 years, and just walk through that briefly. You know the trials and errors, the ups and downs, the heartbreaks. It's, you know, all of that. You know, but you didn't give up. Basically.
No.
So we'll just touch on that real quick.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Well, as an adolescent, mind you, when I was falsely accused, I was at I was 17 of age, right? Mm-hmm. It took them some time to, you know, manufacture a case against me, and they came to arrest me a year and a half later, almost 2 years later to be exact. And you know, by then, like I said, they manufactured a complete case. So I went to state prison at the age of 19. I went at the age of 19. I was wrongfully accused in an indictment against my name. The slander against my name had happened at the age of 17 in 1996. I was 17 years of age when this happened. It wasn't until, like I said, that towards the end of 98 where they completed, you know, their botched investigation and concocting a case against me. So at 19, I got off the bus. I got off what we call the Bluebird. It was, you know, the Pennsylvania bus, you know, school bus, shackle, you know what I mean? Bars on the windows, iron rod, you know, circular rod, you know, on the floor where the chains can, you know, be mounted, you know, towards my ankles and my wrists. So at the age of 17, I had immediately begun to learn the legal jargon and to, you know, to fight, because I knew I needed the tools. I needed to know this legalese. So at 19, I was able to navigate, you know, myself pro se, being a pro se litigant, and chop through all of the, you know, the like I said, the draconian policies and laws that was in place. I wound up proving my innocence in 2009, right before a federal judge.
Okay, I want you to hold that thought, because we're gonna move into part 2. Okay, all right.
Yes, sir.
And then we're gonna move into segment 2, and then I want you to continue on talking about what it was. But what it is I want you to close out to that, because I want people to know who you are now and what you plan on doing, all right? Okay?
Cool.
Because we're going to bring you back to do more things, okay? So
absolutely.
Move on to part 2. So here's part 2 with my interview with Terrence Lewis, and we're going to continue to dig right in, and he's going to continue on with his story as he went to state prison. Go right ahead, Mr. Lewis.
I had ended up coming before the federal court, and my federal judge had appointed me my first attorney, who's my modern day superhero, Mr. David Leger, as well as Kevin Hart and Jr. And together, collectively, you know what I mean, with the road work that I had already put in, we was successful in proving my innocence before the federal court. However, due to the policies and, like I said, the, you know, the mandatory.
You said that when we spoke together.
I wasn't released into 2019, which was just last year. You know, so I spent an additional 10 years after having a judge unequivocally say that I'm an actually innocent man. So can you imagine the compounded trauma, or, you know what I mean?
So speak to that for a moment. You were released 10 years prior. You were basically free. What was the tangle? What was the, you know, the red tape? What stopped them from opening that cell and saying, leave, you are a free man?
Factually speaking, like you know, like the record reflected, from day one I was innocent. But due to the Anti-Terrorism Effective Death Penalty Act, as well as in Pennsylvania, what is symbolic to that, this is a bill in 96, is a federal bill that Bill Clinton has signed into law. Basically, what in essence what it says is that we are going to put the cart before the horse. Right. It ain't nothing no more than them highlighting the black codes. I became a 21st century slave, in essence.
The new Jim Crow.
It didn't matter whether or not I was innocent or guilty. The fact of the matter is that I got tangled up in the system of law, the criminal injustice system. I like to call it the injustice system, because that's all what I witnessed, you know what I mean, prior to my exoneration, which ultimately brought about my release.
So then let's start to talk to this. Now that you're out, because I want people to know who you are. So real quick, tell me a little bit about your family background and, dynamics of that.
You know, my family, I come from a wholesome family. I come from a good family. I come from a family that's enshrined, you know what I mean, with morals and values and integrity. For example, my father, you know, he is a retired vet, did 31 years in the U.S. Army. He fought in Desert Storm. So this is the pedigree that I come from.
So you come from a stable family. Right.
Yes, I do.
Not statistically black, poor, we starved growing up. No. You came from a very progressive family. Dad worked, and you know, you guys had a decent home.
You know, even looking at it, you know what I mean, from the opposite angle, you know, because like I said, you know what I mean, I grew up with a structure. I grew up, you know what I mean, with discipline, you know. I didn't need jail, you know, to rehabilitate me. So, you know, the system as a whole, that's what filled me. You know, it took a lone judge, two lone judges, you know what I mean, to act upon, you know, integrity and to, you know, break the status quo. One, the first judge, my federal judge, and when she unequivocally ruled that I was innocent, and then my second judge, which was Barbara McDermott, when she enforced the actual ruling that I had 10 years prior. But yeah, to your point, yeah, I came from a family, a stable family. The injustices and the systemic, you know, inequalities, you know what I mean, that the minority and the second class citizens, you know what I mean, those who are underprivileged, you know what I mean, who are subject to the oppression, you know, of the system as it is today. So whether you was
Mr. Lewis, because I know you got so much on your plate, now that God has blessed you, you've been exonerated for a crime that you never did. What's in the future for you? All right. And let me start with one quick question, then we'll go to that second question. What's in the future? What you're doing now to make a difference? But you would see that young black man or woman on the street that's poverty stricken, that can't figure out what they want to do, where they want to go. What would you tell them now to really make a difference in their life?
I would tell them, based upon if they do have it, which I would go out on a limb and say that they do, I would tell them to act upon the sincerity, you know. I would tell them to further their education, you know, because that's the key. It's about being woke and remaining woke in regards to exactly what's going on around us. a tragedy. It's a tragedy that we had to see with our own eyes and the torturous way, the racial disparities that still exist. Although they say they went away, but that's not the reality.
And they're more prevalent than ever. So my next question then, tell me now, who's your mentor?
My mentor, honestly speaking, my mentor, I have a few.
Give him a shout out.
Well, first and foremost, Miss Patricia Cummings.
Okay.
She was very instrumental, and I value her being a true advocate of reform and progression as it pertains to the office that she represents, as far as the district attorney office, being the supervisor of the Conviction Integrity Unit. And like I said, my modern day hero, which is David M. Leger, because he was the first to sincerely put his best foot forward and believing in my innocence. And he represented me pro bono for 10 years. 10 years. You know, what it's about.
Okay, next question then. Tell us a little bit about your organization, what you're doing now. But before that, I want to ask, because this brother is so intelligent. I mean, we had the opportunity to speak, and I believe that night we both were on our A game. You know, we dropped it like it was hot. All right. With that, tell me the last book you read and why, because I know you're in the books.
Of course. The last book, you know, honestly, the last book I read was, again, and you can't go wrong with this, it was the autobiography of Malcolm X.
Yes.
There's so many jewels, you know what I mean, that you could take home, so many messages that still resonate today. And so that's one of the books that I truly benefit from, because it's a book that absorbed sincerity and truth and truthfulness. Okay. So definitely that. And in regards to what I'm doing right now, I have successively launched the Liberation Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization, Philly based.
Before we close out, tell people how they can reach you and how they can get involved and how they can donate.
All right. They can donate. Absolutely. They can donate by going to T-Laws Liberation Foundation, and all of the assistance, all of the support is needed, because the liberation does not end. Or did it begin with me? I'm not the end-all, be-all. There are other individuals who are similarly situated and who are serving disproportionate sentences as well, and they need liberation as well.
Okay, real quick, what does the foundation do?
The foundation is, we advocate on behalf of those who have been wrongfully convicted and those who are subject to a disproportionate sentence. Meaning the fact of the matter, at least with Philadelphia speaking real quick, if a case and the facts call for third degree murder, but this individual is serving a life sentence, meaning he got to die in jail. And although, you know, because of how the law is set up, but the facts say otherwise, these are the individuals who I want to help fight for and with, so that they can go ahead and experience what I have experienced in regards to what true freedom tastes like.
Okay, Craig. Wow. I mean, we could kick it. There's so much more that I want to ask you, but
you know how you and I get. You know how you and I. This is why I told you that. I said, man, you got to give me. We got to set up something. We don't have the time, because
you're part of the WOOC family. You are coming back, okay? I said, we appreciate everything that you've done, everything that you're doing. And real quick, I won't put you on blast unless you want to say it, but I understand you got a few dollars. You want to talk about that? Right? The settlement. Well, because people need to know. No money in the world is worth your freedom, but you want to disclose that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No money. I was, and like you said, I was truly blessed yet again. You know, the heavens was truly cracked open for me, and God Almighty showered.
So they know. Yeah.
Yeah. It was over $6 million. It was over $6 million that I was awarded. Yeah.
All right. And we will end on that note. Hey, brother, you know that you're family. Okay. Like I said, our friendship is going to go back as long as train smoke. We're going to bring you back. There's all kinds of stuff. And when the book hits the shelf, I want the first interview. Right. Because I know you're going to drop it like it's hot. Okay.
You're right. I got a tap. What, you got my phone tapped or something? You know.
All right. We got to close out, brother. Okay.
Absolutely.
Until next time. Don't hear about next time. Difference. You need to be about making a difference. This is Inez Bosch's baby boy, H. Bosch Jr., and your overcoming adversity specialist, doing what I'm made to believe.